ignition sequence start. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, liftoff.
Check, 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 check. I literally just create madness.
Boiler up.
I'm going to go off here.
They don't have a great quarterback.
I got to take a break. I'm getting in trouble.
To win the Big Ten, you first got to win the West.
Bad Bunny.
Have you heard his name in a while?
No.
Has it bothered you?
No.
Defensively, they got to come in with some confidence.
Is that even analytics?
I am in a parking garage. Kind of lost.
Terrence Shannon, Matthew Meyer, RJ Melendez, Coleman Hawkins.
He's throwing the presentations on and over.
I didn't come here to go 5-7.
I'm so proud of Illinois football right now.
I'm so tired of Joel Embiid.
We're not taking Patrick Corbin.
I want to bet the Bears.
Oh.
You are Reba McEntire's niece.
Roshan Russell.
Coach Bielma.
Dino Long. Yeah, salute to yourself.
What?
We got all kinds of things for you here.
There's a lot of glass.
Oh.
Guys, we have breaking news.
Uh-oh.
It's the drive.
Schmack dogs.
Hey, what's up? It's The Drive with Dan Piper, ESPN Radio 93.5. Derek Piper, Kyle Tosk, Lante en route will be here joining us shortly. Let's start off talking some baseball. I know that as we go along, we'll hit on a variety of other topics. I want to dive in a little bit more on the NFL today. Of course, Illinois, and they deserved it, our full attention following that win in College Park to kick off our week. Appreciate Jay Layman as always, Luke Altmaier as always. But the AL and NLCS are hot and heavy, and a 2-0 lead for Texas. Philly starts last night against Arizona, and they are able to jump out to a 1-0 lead in the NLCS. And, man, I don't know how a lot of people out there feel about Philly. I don't personally have any reason to dislike them. I love watching them play. I love that lineup. It's loaded top to bottom. They were in the World Series, of course, last year, then go out and get Trey Turner to make it even more deep. And I just love that environment. I love the how electric Citizens Bank Park is. It's a incredible. It's a home run hitting team, and just the I could hear it over and over again. The roars of the crowd. Maybe we'll play another Bryce Harper one today. Hit one on his birthday last night. Then you throw the bell in there. I'm thoroughly entertained. Say what you want about certain wild card teams and maybe an unfair advantage to the Braves and the Dodgers of the world. I think that's really the ones that people are focusing in on, but I'm fully entertained by this Philly squad. And yet on that note, Kyle, you have Schwarber smack one last night. You got Harper, both those guys in the first inning. Castellanos has had a great postseason so far. He hits another one last night.
And then come on with him. What is that? 5 homers so far for him?
Something like that.
It might
something
be
crazy.
More. It might be more because I don't know what he did against the Marlins. I'm thinking just back to the back-to-back 2-homer games. True. He had against Atlanta. But he's been – that whole lineup is just, Harper, Castellanos, Trey Turner, incredible. And the other thing for me watching the Phillies too as a Cubs fan, it's funny because their outfield is basic. I know Harper hasn't played the outfield, but their outfield is basically just outfielders the Cubs could have had or have had. When you think
about
it,
was the Cubs' dream, right?
Obviously, defensively, that outfield's not. But in terms of just players that the Cubs could have had in their outfield, Kyle Schwarber obviously started with the Cubs. Mm-hmm. They non-tender him to save money in 2019, or 2020 maybe. Nick Castellanos, they trade for him at the 2019 deadline. He has an unbelievable second half. Fortunately, didn't lead the Cubs to the playoffs, but he had like a 1,100 OPS, like 17 homers and 20 doubles in 2 months for the Cubs. They don't re-sign him. They let him go to the Reds. And Bryce Harper was rumored to be a Cubs target and had in the rumor was that he was very interested in going to the Cubs, but they didn't want to pay the $300. They didn't have the money at the time. is what the narrative was, to give him a $300 million contract. So he signs with the Phillies. So it's definitely interesting to watch those three just dominate a postseason series. I'm not saying, obviously, Castellanos, Schwarber defensively, the Cubs outfield this year was good. I'm not trying to say, oh, what a mistake that these guys are showing exactly why the Cubs front office are idiots. I'm not saying that, but it's just interesting to watch, because all three of those guys could have, and some people argue should have been Cubs.
I know. I remember hearing a lot about how Chris Bryant and Bryce Harper, friends, both from the Vegas area, right? Yep. And that was a big thing. And Cubs fans getting excited about maybe getting Bryce Harper and paying that big paycheck, which some people probably wondered. He was kind of at the forefront of giving out $300 million deals, and would it bite the Phillies down the especially in the back end of that deal? And we're not going to find out what that ultimately looks like, but I think that even on the front end of this, you could say, off of a World Series appearance last year, if they go again this year, probably worth it, especially if they win one. I mean, that's already paying it off, and then anything after that is just gravy, it would seem. But yeah, I mean, he's been phenomenal. And I was going to ask this question. I'm having this thought, and I know it's a topic of conversation that's kind of being out there. Now, number one, Bryce is just checking a lot of boxes right now. Like, he's got the cool factor. I mean, the ability to hit the two home runs and stare down Orlando Arcia, and then you get last night he homers on his birthday, and he puts up the three and the one and blows up the candles when he crosses home plate. He's got that. I mean, and then he's a beast at the plate, and he's really showing up in the postseason for Philly. I was pulling up his all-time playoff stats. Had a couple of appearances there with Washington. They, of course, won the World Series the year after he left in free agency. But on the whole, he's played in 43 postseason games, hitting .293, 15 home runs, 30 RBIs, OPS over 1,000. I mean, and those numbers would be inflated even more if you just focused on what he's done with Philly. So is he the – if Philly wins the World Series and Bryce Harper continues on this tear that he's on, he's hit four postseason bombs. He's been outstanding. Is he the face of baseball?
He's up there, no question about it. I don't know. It's so tough, because I think you have flashier guys like an Acuna with his stolen bases and whatever, and Otani obviously has the two-way thing. But you're right. He's just – you watch him play, you watch the blasts he hits are just mammoth blasts that are unbelievable. And he just has, you said it perfectly. He has that cool factor to him. He has that swag to him that makes you really like, I hadn't really had an opinion on Bryce Harper for a while. There were some times when he was with the Nationals that I kind of didn't love him at times, but I've really started to, the last two playoffs especially, he's been an electrifying talent. And I think that, yeah, if he continues, I mean, I think he'd have to have a big World Series too. I think if he were to cool off completely, I don't know if people are necessarily going to remember the NLDS and NLCS homers. Yeah. He'd have to have a signature World Series home run at home, probably with another one of those massive crowd blasts. But it's possible. I mean, he's already, I think, one of the – you think of a handful of faces of baseball, he probably falls in the top 5 to 7 guys that you think of.
Yep.
Is that fair?
No, I definitely think so. I think that the Shohei Ohtani injury certainly is going to play a factor in that. Now, can he, wherever he's going to land in free agency, you know, maybe he should go to a more relevant team. I don't know how you, that's something that's obviously on his mind of trying to go to a bigger contender.
If he's on the Dodgers, it's going to be gonna be tough.
And even take away his pitching, if he hits 50 home runs, which he's obviously very well capable of, that could play a part in him really taking a stranglehold of the spotlight. Acuna, I mean, he had the first ever 40-70 season on what was probably the best team in baseball throughout the regular season. I think that if he were the big show out player for the Braves, which a lot of people thought would go to the World Series and possibly even win it, then I think that would obviously bolster his argument. And I'm not saying that it's not even close or anything. I just feel like Harper right now is in a situation where he's got a lot of momentum. Like, he won the MVP in 2021, injury shortened seasons, at least regular seasons, the last 2 years, but a show out player for a Philly squad last year in the postseason. And then just kind of what he's doing in moments where it matters most is is putting him in a really good situation. And yeah, I'm with you. I kind of felt like he was, you heard a lot about him coming up as a prospect. And then maybe there were times where I think there was a, I'd have to Google this, because sometimes there are those, like, those player voted like surveys. And I think there was one time maybe he was voted as maybe the most overrated or the most overhyped player in baseball. I could be getting that wrong, but it kind of felt like there were times where there was a little bit of that. But now I don't think there's any question that he's a bona fide star. And I just, to kind of bring it back to Philly as a whole and just that environment, like, is that the best postseason environment of those remaining? For sure. And probably one that I can remember in recent memory. I know that you kind of get caught sometimes in recency bias, but that place is nuts. And I just love the reaction and just the amplitude of that crowd. And, you know, Schwarber hits one and then Harper last night, and that place is going bananas. So
it is an unbelievable environment there in Philly. I know Philly fans get the bad rap sometimes, and probably deservedly so for certain things, but that's a passionate city it's been an electrifying. There hasn't been an atmosphere that's topped that the last two postseasons, without question.
Yeah, for sure. Trey Turner, we kind of glossed over him a little bit. I know you mentioned him, obviously, as part of that lineup. But, I mean, he's had a ridiculous postseason so far. I think he's hit, like, five doubles already, a handful of home runs. I mean, they're so loaded with their lineup. They slot Castellanos. What does he hit, seventh for them?
He hit seventh last night, yep.
That's crazy. And I did see a clip going into tonight's game, which would be interesting. Aaron Nola, I mean, they have a legit, at least what they've shown in the postseason. I mean, Wheeler, really, from the start of last season on, he's been a bona fide ace. Aaron Nola's been a little bit more up and down, especially in the regular seasons, but he's looked really, really good here in this postseason. They have a legit 1-2, which usually is kind of the characteristic of a World Series caliber team, and he's going tonight against Merrill Kelly. I saw a clip on Twitter circulating, and I don't think there was anything necessarily wrong with what Merrill Kelly said, but I think he was asked about the environment in Philly, and he goes, going back to the World Baseball Classic, you know, we faced Venezuela down in Miami, and I would doubt that it's any more crazy than what we played in down in Miami against Venezuela. So, again, like, I think that there were some really big turnouts, but, of course,
it's going to be the next bulletin board. The Phillies are going to be wearing it on their shirt when they're celebrating their – when they're popping champagne, celebrating their pennant. Like, come on, man. Have we not learned now?
Learn from the Arcia thing. And I don't know. What Arcia was doing probably wasn't any different than what a lot of clubhouses you would have had, but – What happened with that? I should know more about this. Was it a clip that got released, or did some reporter say that he was doing this?
It was a Philly reporter that was in the Braves clubhouse after was game two that the Braves had won. And Arcia was just, like, joking around with his teammates, apparently saying, like, laughing at Harper, saying, attaboy Harper, or whatever. Right. He wasn't being questioned. He wasn't being interviewed or anything. He was just kind of walking around the clubhouse, and that reporter then wrote something up or posted on Twitter or something saying, I overheard Orlando Arcia saying attaboy Harper. And then there's the two sides of it, the big debate going on. Like, well, should you be sharing that information if he's just, you know, in his own clubhouse? But to me, it's like, listen, if there's a media presence in there and you're going to go around, you have to know that that stuff is possibly going to leak out, and I don't think the reporter did anything wrong. While he's doing his job in the clubhouse, he hears something and reports it, and just, I don't know. I didn't have any issue with that, and I actually thought I was kind of rooting for that storyline. I don't know, the Braves, I didn't necessarily have a preference in that series, but once that stuff was happening and just some of the stuff that Braves fans have been going on about, I was rooting for that storyline to blow back up in the Braves' face. I was very pleased watching Harper hit two bombs the night after.
It 100% did, and I think obviously Arcia acted like a little bit childish. Some of the clips.
Oh man, and the that, game four that final clips, game, that's ridiculous, man.
I think that's something that he's definitely gonna have to deal with this offseason, and probably one where Atlanta's missing Dansby Swanson right about now. But they actually had a really good season as
they
well.
They did, so. Yeah. I don't know if they're necessarily missing him, but I'm definitely not upset that he is where he is now. I did look up your Bryce, going back to what you said earlier about the most overrated player poll for Bryce Harper. So it was before the 2019 season, The Athletic released a piece where they polled a bunch of MLB players about certain superlatives or whatever you want to call them, and 62% said Bryce Harper was the most overrated player in the MLB. So that was the offseason after he had just signed his $300 million deal. So he hadn't played a game with Philly yet. He had just signed his contract. 62% of his peers called him the most overrated player, and then 2 years later he wins an MVP, and now he's doing this. So
good find, Kyle. I'm glad you're able to pull that up, and I wasn't misremembering, but that shows a lot. Yeah, for a guy, just the way it's flipped, and especially if he gets a ring on his finger after Washington was able to win one without him. Of course, that was a really, really good national team that had a Trey Turner still involved in that. Obviously, Scherzer and Strasburg and Anthony Rendon, who hasn't done a whole lot maybe since going over to Los Angeles, but he really broke out in that series as well. But going to be very interesting. Let's focus maybe a little bit on the AL side of things. I mean, it's shocking that – has Texas lost a game in the postseason yet? Oh, man. It's crazy.
They
have not.
They're in – I mean, this is setting up to be a crash course between the Rangers and Phillies lineups. I mean, in the World Series, it just has to be. That's – Texas's lineup is doing almost as incredible stuff as what Philly's doing. Mm-hmm. It's pretty impressive. And Max Scherzer going tonight, or not tonight, in game three.
Is he really?
He is. I didn't realize this, but he was put on the ALCS roster, and the word is that he's going to make the start in game three.
Oh, my gosh. That's going to be really – I mean, it's really the best-case scenario for them because they have the 2-0 cushion, and he says he's ready to go. I don't know how much – you know, behind the scenes stuff or bullpen work he's been able to do. I know that we talked about it after the show that he had thrown some bullpens, but I know following the DS, he said that he was going to be feeling like he could become available for them. But yeah, it'd be a lot different if it's obviously 2-0 Houston or even 1-1, which can swing a series, especially you lose a game at home. But 2-0 for them to go into Houston, build that cushion, and then to have Scherzer go. And if he's even, you know, 70% of what we expect Max Scherzer to be, that sets up Texas to have quite a top of the rotation because Montgomery's throwing really, really well. And I think, unfortunately, it's going to be a pipe dream for the Cardinals to be able to get him back. Usually you don't see a situation. Maybe, like, the only one I can really think of, Kyle, maybe you can throw in another one if one comes to mind, like Chapman, Aroldis Chapman getting traded midseason and going back to the same place.
I believe that's the only one that's happened in like the past decade for somebody who signed for more than $5 million a year, some caveat to it. But in terms of a significant free agent re-signing with the team that just traded him, Chapman's the only one in a decade.
Man, yeah, I don't hold my breath on that one. But he's been lights out so far for them, being able to out-duel Justin Verlander there in that game one. And Nathan Eovaldi he's just a big game pitcher. His postseason numbers are ridiculous. Like what he was able to do for the Red Sox coming up in some big spots. I remember a couple of years ago he pitched against Gerrit Cole in a big wild card game. That was a one and done during that current playoff format, and was able to out-duel one of the highest paid pitchers, if not at the time the highest paid pitcher in baseball. And I think he's got a sub-3 ERA in his postseason career and strikes out like 9 last night, and just he's been unbelievable.
Talk about the most underrated best signing of this past offseason for the Rangers to go get Eovaldi for 3 years and $63 million. That's a guy that when the Cubs were looking for pitching and ultimately signed Jameson Taillon, I had him in mind, and that looks to be the marquee pitching signing of this past offseason, which, yeah, he's been incredible. And he had a heck of a regular season. I mean, he's been a Cy Young candidate all year long. And now, yeah, he just there's those certain guys that you hand the ball to in the playoffs and you know that they're going to compete. He's turned into one of those guys. I'm definitely excited, though. I don't think the Astros are out of this series quite yet. I think the Rangers are so red hot, but the Astros just they don't go down quietly in the playoffs. They're gonna find a way. I know they lose both games at home, but I wouldn't be surprised if this still goes 6 or 7. I don't know. I don't know if Scherzer's gonna be ready. You have a couple games before you get back to Montgomery and Eovaldi. I think the Astros still have a chance to make this a series.
I think obviously everybody wants, I would imagine most people want to see Houston get knocked out.
Oh, I do. Yeah. I'm not trying to say that as like an Astros supporter.
I think that baseball fans and just like the TV like captivation of the playoffs, it'd be great to see some of these series go deep, you know, go 6-7 games, because it felt like obviously the wild card series, it was 2-0 sweeps everywhere. There wasn't the type of tension of a 1-1 going into game three type of thing. And then even the DS had a lot of that as well. Kind of teams just, you know, the Diamondbacks make quick work of the Dodgers, and the Braves went to, how many games did that series go?
Four.
Went four. Didn't go five. Yeah. Okay. And I think that would be great if one of these can go deep. Now, if it was a situation where the Rangers just completely wipe out the Astros, take away any possibility of them making another World Series appearance, I think a lot of people would be on board with that and signing up for that. But, yeah, no, I would be dumb to write them off. Did you see the clip? I'm sure a lot of people have, of Derek Jeter saying last night that, hey, you know, I was up 3-0 and – that series wasn't over even. That's one I like to forget. And then Big Poppy goes, you were? That was pretty good. But on the note of Nathan Eovaldi, he's made 9 postseason starts. His ERA in the postseason is 2.87.
Wow.
He's pitched in the World Series and has a 1.13 ERA in the World Series. Those were out of relief. But, yeah, I mean, he – was huge in that game against Houston. And then you also look at the fact that he was able to shut down both Baltimore, 7 innings, 1 earned, 9 K or 7 Ks. He had 9 Ks in the game last night against Houston. And then pitching at Tampa, was able to go 6 2/3, only 1 earned and 8 Ks. He's been a big deal for that rotation. So
I mean, that is incredible what the Rangers have done. When you think about the Rays, who we're like a 95-win wild card team, and they go to Tampa. Now, I know Tampa is not a very intimidating road environment to go into, but
that was
still
a joke, wasn't it?
You go in there and you sweep them with complete ease. I think the Rays scored their first run in like the 8th inning of game 2 of that wild card series.
Sheesh.
Then you sweep the Orioles, who are an 100-win team, the only 100-win team in the AL, a lineup that has just been nasty all year long, and you have Montgomery and Eovaldi go and just shut them down. And now you are playing Houston.
3 minute stations, 3 minutes to your next Fox News 30-30.
Whoops.
You're good. It's happened to me a number of times.
Yeah. But anyway, I think, and then the Astros, who've made 7 straight ALCSs, and they're never a quiet lineup to especially in Houston, to shut down. And the Rangers are undefeated in the playoffs, 7-0 so far. That's pretty remarkable run. I mean, they have to be – I know the Phillies are just as deadly of a lineup, but the Rangers have to be the current favorites to win the World Series. If you had to project – I know it's probably tough between the Phillies and Rangers, but a team that's 7-0 against 395-win opponents, I mean, come on.
I'll have to see what the odds here, pulling up. Trusty FanDuel. Let's see. World Series odds. You've got the Rangers plus 110. You've got the Phillies plus 145. Astros plus 700. And the D-backs plus 750. So that's a good call by you, Kyle. They are the odds-on favorite. About even money to win the World Series.
If you had to make a pick right now who wins the World Series, I'm probably going to – I think Philly gets over the hump today.
That would be my bet. It would hurt me as a guy that going into last season, I bet them 33-1 to win it. And if I was just a year too early, that would sting. But take selfish reasons out of it. Yeah, I think that it feels like they've got – and would you say that they have the advantage in the top two guys in the rotation, like Wheeler and Nola versus Montgomery and Eovaldi?
On paper,
but
for sure.
How those
the
guys
way they've
pitching.
Pitched. Probably pretty even. And then if Scherzer can come out and be himself, then the Rangers as a whole probably have the advantage in the rotation.
Good call.
But yeah, like even the funny thing is, like, even Ranger Suarez for the Phillies shut down the Braves over like 6 innings or whatever he pitched.
He's been decent.
I don't, you know, it's tough. I'd probably take Wheeler and Nola over Eovaldi and Montgomery, but Scherzer's the big wild card there.
Yeah, and I think that series, you know, would be, say what you want, I mean, two non-division winners, but just loaded lineups. And I'd love to see it. I think that'd be a highly captivating World Series for my standpoint. And I do lean Philly right now. I like what they have going. So game two tonight, you're going to have Aaron Nola on the hill for the Phils, and you got Merrill Kelly on the hill for the Arizona Diamondbacks.
How badly is Merrill Kelly going to be memed and chastised if he goes out there and gets shelled in like the first two innings?
Oh, huge. Big time. Big time. And we were talking about the roars of the crowd. I mean, they have all the more reason just to go that much crazier tonight. So can he actually keep that place relatively quiet? Godspeed and good luck, because that lineup in that place right now is just on fire. But if he does get rocked, yeah, I think that's one that is going to be having fun with social media, and it's going to be everywhere. But maybe when we lead back into our next segment, we can play one of those home runs last night, whether it be Schwarber, Harper, or what.
Or both.
You. Or both, yeah.
Can never get enough bat on ball crack sound of the crowd in Philly. I'll take that every day.
No, 100%. If you want to win, you can. 217-359-2255 on the U of I Atlanta Link text line. Like I mentioned earlier, as we go along, we will hit on some more NFL in terms of kind of outside of just, the Bears still stink, or we can kind of go bigger.
The Bears signed Trace McSorley today to their practice squad. Does that mean Fields is hitting IR, you think? We can get to that later.
I'm afraid, yeah. I'm afraid he's going to be out probably a month, but it's depressing times for a Bears fan like myself. But could talk some NFL. We had a good game last night there in Los Angeles. The Dallas was able to pull out. I want to talk more about, we spent a brief amount of time on the AP Top 25 for college basketball that dropped yesterday. Talked a little bit about Illinois' positioning there being number 25. We can maybe go through the whole poll and give our overarching thoughts about college basketball hoop season. You got what? Illinois taking the court later this week. You got the Kansas scrimmage about a week and a half away. And, man, Illinois Marquette is less than a month away. So it's creeping up here, and I'm pretty excited about college basketball as well. Anything else you want us to hit on as we go along? 217-359-2255 on the U of I Atlanta Link text line. Going to catch a break. We'll be back. This is The Drive.
You moved into your new home using two men and a truck. The garage was clean. Then,
I love the new recliner. What are we going to do with this old one?
Put it in the garage for now.
Over time, this cycle continued.
Put it in the garage for now.
It happens. You got junk. Call Two Men and a Truck to get rid of all your junk. Residential or commercial, Two Men and a Truck has a solution for your junk removal. Contact them at twomenchampagne.com. Two Men and
a Truck. Let Max Twin City Recycling pay you for your junk metal items. As the weather begins to heat up, now is a great time to put cash in your pocket for the steel, copper, brass, and aluminum items you've been meaning to get rid of. We've recently added a large concrete pad to make unloading quicker and cleaner for our customers. Visit us on North Lincoln Avenue, just north of I-74, or at maxrecycling.com. Starting it over is what we do
at Max Twin City Recycling. Hey, this is Derek Piper from The Drive. We're doing our show from Pia's Friday, October 20th, beginning at 3 p.m. Come out and join us.
I can't wait, and we're going to have some special guests, Derek Piper. How about former Illinois players? Martin O'Donnell, love hearing him. Great player on that offensive line.
Enjoy Twisted Tea drink specials, prizes, and tickets to the homecoming game as well against Wisconsin that Saturday.
Pia's, 1609 Springfield Avenue in Champaign, with a team from Stevie J Broadcasting saying, Go Illini!
Hey Illini fans, it's the best time of the year, homecoming. We can't wait to see you back on campus and at Memorial Stadium on Saturday, October 21st versus Wisconsin. Make sure to get in town early Friday for the homecoming parade and pep rally. Tailgating, family, homecoming, and Illinois football. What could be better than that? Get tickets at fightingillini.com.
Hi, I'm Tyler Weaver, president of Carpet Weaver's Flooring and Furniture Gallery. Take a look around your home. Is it finally ready for some much-needed updates? If you don't know where to start, then just meet with one of our experts. We'll help you find the perfect waterproof plank floor for your kitchen or that stain-resistant, super-soft carpet for your bedroom. Finish your room update with a custom sofa and chairs, or choose a trendy in-stock dining set that's priced right. Come home to Carpet Weavers, where floors, furniture, and family meet.
When it comes to finding a reliable vehicle, look no further than Sarah Champaign, your trusted automotive destination. They carry a lineup of top brands, including Honda, BMW, Subaru, GMC, and Buick. And they're not just about cars. They're about people. Their team is dedicated to providing you with trustworthy service and dependable vehicles that fit your lifestyle. Experience the difference at Sarah Champaign. Visit Sarah, S-E-R-R-A, Champaign.com.
So when was the last time you saw a best deal guarantee?
You mean a promise that actually held up?
Right.
That some unknown online entity didn't want you to log in and download a code and then re-verify as you join some club?
Drives you nuts, I know.
And then once you purchase that set of steak knives?
Well, Dick Van Dyke Appliance World is a lot simpler. You find a verified great deal and they beat it. Just show them the deal you saw. A newspaper clipping or the online cart price will do, and then you're good.
At Dick Van Dyke Appliance World, it's one of those instances where you see a best deal guarantee and...
you get the best deal.
This is Dennis Reakin, chairman of Dick Van Dyke Appliance World. Our exclusive 10-year protection plan comes free with most appliance purchases. Whether it's a GE, Whirlpool, Frigidaire, Bosch, or any of our 30 brands, I guarantee we will beat any competitor's deal. Wow!
Dick Van Dyke Appliance.
Local, personal, trusted. Hi, this is Atta Durakan with First Federal Savings Bank of Champaign-Urbana, and we've been serving Champaign County since 1908. Our institution is safe, strong, and stable. We operate on a foundation of responsible and sound practices, and you can rest easy knowing we're your bank. Rated 5-star superior by Bauer Financial, Inc., fast, friendly, and local. With local loan decisions and underwriting, if you're not already banking with us, give us a try, and we think you'll love it here. First Federal Savings Bank, 356bank.com, member FDIC, equal housing lender, NMLS. 435-120.
Hi, it's Stevie J. So I took my mom in to Audubel, owned by Jeff Hanley, who owns 13 locations around Central Illinois. She's had so much trouble hearing for so long. Audubel, A-U-D-I-B-E-L, for hearing. And some of the new technologies, they've got AI now for some of these hearing aids, and they're virtually invisible. It's unbelievable, and it helped my mom. It helped her incredibly. We've been to other places. This is by far the best place I've ever been in for hearing help. Go to audibleteam.com. That's A-U-D-I-B-E-L. If you want more information about Audible and how Jeff Hanley and his amazing culture and amazing team that they have, go to audibleteam.com. That's A-U-D-I-B-E-L, audibleteam.com. You'll be so happy you found Audible. Amazing work. They got a location in Champaign. Go to audibleteam.com. That's audibleteam.com.
Everybody needs insurance, and that's why I love Kyle Lewis at Insurance Providers Group. This is Jay Layman, All-American linebacker. Kyle provides auto, life, health, and all kinds of commercial lines of insurance. They are my one-stop shop for all my insurance needs, and all my rental properties are insured by IPG. That's why you need to email Kyle at IPGINS.com. Kyle at IPGINS.com.
Hey, Illini fans, it's Mike Greenberg. Catch Lon Tay and Derek Piper weekdays from 4 to 6 right here on ESPN Radio 93.5.
The all-star starter in the National League this year, Kyle Schwarber, ready to lead off. First ball swinging, and there it goes! An ambush by Schwarber, and it's 1-0 Phillies.
Last year at this time,
47 homers, a career best for Schwarber in the regular season. Now Harper deep in the right center, and he'll watch this one fly. Second home run of the inning.
Can't beat it, Kyle. You just can't.
No, you can't.
And I fully agree with what you said. I think last 2 years, and someone would have to bring up another reference point for a better environment. I know that, like, Fenway has had its years there, obviously in October, but Philly right now is, it's the place to be in baseball.
Bias fan in me says take a look at Wrigley Field in the 2016 postseason run, but they haven't had, that's like the only one. This has been a consistent the last couple of years.
Yeah, no, that's a good call. Wrigley that year had to be, of course, it was bonkers. It was what everybody had been waiting for 100 years. If I were to cherry pick the moment, David Freese hits the home run game six. Obviously, one of the, in my biased opinion, but I think a lot of people, is one of the best World Series games that I've seen in my lifetime, but also just kind of the reaction to that. But yeah, I mean, this is just any home run, any ball that leaves the yard is obviously a mammoth blast, great crack off the bat. And then, man, just that eruption, just kind of the hair stands up in my arms and the back of my neck. It's crazy.
It is very unique. Big time home run in baseball is very unique in terms of just the atmosphere and the moment. And because you hit the big blast, everybody gets up on their feet at once. And then there's the trot around the bases where everyone just gets to soak it in. And it's just it's like a minute, 2 minute long party in the stands where, I think you mentioned this last week, like a game-winning buzzer beater in basketball, similar, sure. There's nothing really in football that compares. Maybe a game-winning goal in overtime in hockey or something, but it's just something about a big-time home run with the home run trot, and just in terms of an electric atmosphere and environment, it's just such a unique moment throughout sports.
Yeah, no, 100%. Yeah, I think I was trying to come up with some. I think the buzzer beater in basketball. Now, of course, you throw in, like, for us, or I'll speak for myself, college basketball to me.
College basketball buzzer beater
with
a
court storm,
special.
Usually, yeah. Like that's
pretty special.
That's a big deal. Of course, you can think back to the Tyler Griffey against Indiana and watching that one. I think that's one that is top of the line in terms of environment and just kind of pandemonia. Is it pandemonium? Or pandemonia. Pandemonium, I think.
I think so.
Just to get my English correct here. But, I mean, the touchdown in football kind of gives that standalone celebration opportunity too. But it's hard to, I think, postseason baseball, again, like kind of the gnat sound of the crack of the bat and then just the eruption is pretty awesome. So, thoroughly looking forward to
Lon texted in and said an OT winner in the NHL playoffs for the home team. That is. Like, I even remember back to, like, the Blackhawks Stanley Cup runs when I was a kid. That's when I would watch. Like, that is pretty awesome, too.
Yeah, no, that's a great call. I remember in my Blackhawks bandwagoning time during that era, just kind of like in overtime, and as somebody that's not, like, a hockey expert, you're – every shot to me was just like, you hold your breath and you're trying to anticipate something that, you know, that there might be, it might take 30 shots on goal in an overtime period. There was one game that went to like four or five overtimes for it to finally go through. And sometimes it's even hard to see, but no doubt about that. But let's go back to the basketball side of thing, the buzzer beater, maybe an epic dunk. We got some of those coming on the way. You think about a month from now, you're gearing up in that Thanksgiving type of window. Always great with the Maui.
The Maui is loaded this year, by the way.
Is it?
It's unfortunate because they don't get to have
it over there
at the Lahaina Civic Center. I think they're having it on the main island, maybe. I'd have to check that. They're having it in Hawaii, but it's not on Maui after the wildfires there. But it's a loaded field. I'm going to pull it up. I can't remember exactly what the field is, but it is incredible.
Yeah, you get Maui. You get Battle for Atlantis. Of course, I'll be interested to see who's in the Continental Tire, the Vegas event that Illinois was in last year. I mean, that was a loaded field. Admittedly, I haven't done my research on what that's going to look like, but we're about a month away from that. Of course, early in the year, you get the Champions Classic with Michigan State, Duke, Kansas. and Kentucky all doing battle in the same court. You get the Jimmy V early in the season. We're really not that far away from all these big-time battles in the college basketball arena, too. So I did want to go through the rest of the top 25 that was released by the AP. We also have a KenPom rankings out for the following season as well, so we can kind of touch on where Illinois stands in that.
Real quick, Maui, November 20th through 22nd, mark mm-hmm. your calendars. Kansas, Marquette, Purdue, Gonzaga, wow. Syracuse, Tennessee, UCLA, and then they always have Chaminade in there for whatever reason, but that is a field.
That's a great transition to the AP poll. So Kansas number one, Purdue number three, Marquette number five, Tennessee number nine, Gonzaga number 11. Who else was in that?
Syracuse and UCLA. I think UCLA was receiving votes, one of the top vote getters that didn't make it. And then I don't know if Syracuse is thought of highly, but it's still obviously a
prestigious program.
Big program. Yeah. And then do we have to have Chaminade in there every year? Like, what do they do? What do they do? They just have some contract.
They host it, I guess.
Get to be in it just because it's in Hawaii.
Yeah.
Come on.
I don't know.
Illinois can take their spot. I'm sure Pipes wouldn't mind getting on a flight and going out there to Hawaii to cover that.
Definitely not. No, I think
Were you there in 2019?
I didn't go? Not. No, Jeremy went. Jeremy Warner was there.
You got to get out there.
I know. I got to go to Italy, so that was kind of the trade, the foreign trip. But whenever they get out next, I'll definitely be making that trip. So look forward to that. But maybe, you know, Chaminade could trade places with Illinois. I think Illinois, during the week of Thanksgiving, they play Western Illinois. Oh, and there's one other cupcake mixed in there that maybe Chaminade would enjoy a little bit more. Let's see. You got Southern the Sunday before Thanksgiving. And
it's
you got
just
Western
Southern,
Illinois.
Right? It's not a Southern any state. It's just Southern.
Just Southern. Guess. Let's put it out to the Univille Atlanta Link text line. What state is Southern in? First texter, wins a shout out. Send your name if we don't have you here on the text line. I know, I don't have a more exciting prize to give you, but where is Southern? Well, let's do that. Where are other teams ranked in the top 25? Let's get this thing done. Kansas number one, Duke number two. I'll just roll through this. We can kind of go back and talk about some certain squads in particular. Purdue number three, Michigan State number four, Marquette number five, UConn number six. Houston, number seven, got to remember they're now in the Big 12 along with Cincinnati, along with BYU. There have been that transition. So Houston's first year in the Big 12, they are number seven in the country. That'd be the second highest, of course, other than Kansas, ranked there in the Big 12. You got Creighton out of the Big East, number eight, Tennessee, number nine. Florida Atlantic coming in at number 10, Gonzaga 11, Arizona 12, Miami, Florida 13. You've got Arkansas 14, Texas A&M 15, Kentucky 16, San Diego State 17, Texas 18, North Carolina 19, Baylor 20. Then to round out the rest of the top 25, USC 21, Villanova 22, St. Mary's 23, Bama 24, Illinois 25. What kind of stands out to you? Let's maybe start at the top. Is Kansas deserving of the number one overall in your opinion? I think KenPom has Purdue. I think Bart Torvik has Purdue. So the analytics love Purdue. But Kansas, to me, I do think that them losing Artario Morris, who got dismissed from the team with all the stuff regarding him. I mean, that was some added depth in their backcourt. He wasn't going to be a star player for them. But I do think that Kansas, I'm agreeing with you. They go into the portal, they get the biggest – I think the biggest addition in the portal is Hunter Dickinson.
I think, and as much as I'm not a fan of Dickinson, like him with Bill Self at Kansas, I think he's going to be a monster this year. I think he's going to be phenomenal.
No, I agree. I think the fact of Juwan Howard's not really known as being a great end game coach. I think some of his stuff, like late in games, that was getting attached to him last season and kind of the last few seasons is like, can you draw up some good stuff to utilize your best players and get the type of shots you want? I don't have any question about that with Bill Self. Bill Self's probably the best coach in the country right now. You know, you have Coach K having retired and whatnot. You've had a couple other greats like Jay Wright, make the way to the the other side of their careers and onto retirement. But Bill Self in the high low too. I think Dickinson's versatility to like step out and stretch the floor as a guy that can, you know, shoot from the mid range, even to three. And I think he's a really good passer. So that allows them to play him at the five. KJ Adams can play more of the four. You get DeJuan Harris back as a pass first point guard. Not that flashy, but good defender, good facilitator. Kevin McCullough returns, the transfer from Texas Tech. And I think that a guy that I kind of learned more about and trying to dig into some people that Illinois was looking at in the portal, you look at Nick Timberlank out of Towson, was a really, really, really good shooter, a guy that's a good scorer. So add him to the wing along with McCullough. I mean, that's a pretty dangerous Kansas squad, and one that obviously people are going to get a close-up look at, whether you're at State Farm Center here in about a week and a half or watching on BTN.
Yeah, well, going back to – we can go through a couple of these other teams, but going back to your – what's your biggest takeaway here? It's that Illinois plays the top – they play seven regular season games against the preseason top 10, and then an eighth game if you include the Kansas exhibition, which obviously doesn't count, but you're going to play against them. Eight times do they see one of these top 10 teams. You have Florida Atlantic, Tennessee, Marquette in the non-conference. Then you got two games against Purdue, two games against Michigan State, and you host Kansas for a charity exhibition. Eight times Illinois is going to play one of these preseason top 10 teams. I know it's going to change during the season. Yeah. Top 10 is not going to stay the same. When Illinois plays these teams, they're not all going to be still in the top 10, but that is pretty – just on paper. I know Illinois played some – pretty heavy schedules. You think back to UCLA and Texas late last year, but then the Big Ten was so down. Like, on paper, this is about as tough a schedule as I can remember going into a season that Illinois is going to have. It's pretty daunting, but also pretty fun.
No, yeah, I think it's awesome. Of course, you got to win a handful of those to really, you know, take the most advantage out of that. And I think as I kind of think about the first half of the season, you get Marquette at home and then that three-game stretch early December at Rutgers, then going to Madison Square Garden to face FAU, and then obviously turn around and go to Knoxville to face Tennessee. Like, you can't go 0-4 in that stretch. I'm not saying your season's over, but you really need to take one of those, if not two. I think if you go 2-2 between those, maybe you win on your home floor and beat Marquette and then beat a Rutgers team that's picked to finish, you know, 10th, 11th in the Big Ten. I'm not saying it's going to be a gimme game because that's still one of the toughest environments until proven otherwise in the conference. But that would set you up in a pretty decent spot, 3-1. You got a great resume. I mean, similar to last year, you will have beaten two top 10 teams at least, similar to having Texas and UCLA on your resume, which really was the difference between Illinois going to the tournament or not, because like you said, didn't have a ton of quad one opportunities, and the ones that they did have, they weren't able to get because didn't really beat anybody notable on the road. And then the one home game that would have been a quad one, that was a quad one, was Indiana, and you kind of got dominated in that one. So I think that it's a great chance to bolster the resume. And I do like the fact that Illinois is a more veteran team, should be more prepared to handle that, and a more consistent team that comes from having older guys and a good team that has depth too. I think that that puts you in a situation where I think this team will be more ready for it than they were last year. We'll have to wait and see and find out, of course, but I'm
excited.
It is
funny though, because I totally agree with that, but Illinois won their two non-conference games and then kind of fell apart last year. Like, the logic didn't really play out like it should have. Yeah. Last year, when we think about, we expected them to have some growing pains, and with all the new pieces, with the freshmen, with the transfers,
yep,
that's a team that probably should have gelled later in the season,
right?
And they got their two biggest wins and probably looked the best the first month of the year, and
isn't
then
that crazy?
Started to spiral in December and then late in the season. Like, I agree that this team should be more prepared, but like, they were technically ready for it last year, yeah, and then they just didn't carry it forward. So I don't know what to make of that at all.
I'm glad you brought that up, because that's a great point, because yeah, they played their best basketball early in the year when they still should have been trying to figure each other out. And obviously, I mean, their offense, they ended up scrapping the five out, was something that you give it a bigger sample size, and it didn't really work out that well. But you got freshmen, you got transfers coming in. But that's why I think it kind of felt a little fluky as time went on, or just what, however you want to characterize it. I mean, Terrence Shannon goes nuclear. He's a really good player and has had the ability to have those big time moments. He hit 7 threes in a game against UCLA, and then he goes into Big Ten play, and I think he shoots sub 30% from beyond the arc. Sincere Harris with his defense, what he did, you know, what they were able to do against Tiger Campbell. It's funny though, like that's funny because, you know, Tony Perkins has his career game against Illinois. So does Jalen Pickett. So does a handful of other guys. But Tiger Campbell, one of the best point guards in the country, had his career high in turnovers, and UCLA really in that second half unraveled.
Was there, and I know you kind of just hit on that in terms of it was probably pretty fluky, but is there anything, like, looking back, I know we're approaching a brand new season now, we don't need to look back on last year very much, but is there, schematically, stylistically, was there something that Illinois went away from that first month that they maybe shouldn't have, or is there some reason that they looked as good as they did then, and then all of a sudden it's just felt like, I can't explain that other than the fact that, yeah, I guess Terrence Shannon made 8 threes and whatever. But like you said, like, Illinois was so effective guarding Tiger Campbell in that UCLA game. Did they do something differently? Should they have pressed more in Big Ten play? Like, what on earth was that last year? I don't answer?
I think that's we should just let that question float out and say that's what describes last season is what the heck was that. But it's hard to answer. I think that seeing how disruptive they were defensively, I don't maybe think across the course of a 31 game season, if they pressed all the time, and, you know, they opened up the year like, or pressing pretty much, you know, off of every made basket, any opportunity they could get in their press, they were going to do it. And I don't know maybe how sustainable that was, because it turned out, you know, Sky Clark leaves the team. You get Luke Goody injury. It wasn't the deepest team to be able to maybe sustain having that. But I think that defensively, like, later in the year, they weren't as stout as maybe, you know, still analytically they were decent. They were top 40 defensive squad. And yes, they have individual pieces like Coleman Hawkins, like Sincere Harris, that were good defenders. But for the most part, like, they were not executing well enough at that end of the floor. Like, I think that they were giving up more on the glass in terms of offensive rebounds. They were fouling. They just were susceptible to getting lit up, especially, you know, by good shooting teams. Like, I mean, Penn State was a unique matchup. I personally thought I was pushing, and we talked about this going, like, especially into the Big Ten tournament, seeing them for a third time, you got to do something different to them. I thought you should have probably dialed up the heat on them and probably tried to pressure them and maybe even press them off the bat. But it is hard to kind of sort out all of that. I know that kind of the way that I think about those games, like, you needed big comebacks in both of them. Like, UCLA, you were down, what, 12 to 14 early second half?
Yeah, I think they were down, I want to say 17 in the early second half. I mean, they went on a massive run.
Yep. And then Texas, I thought the game was over. Yeah. Like, it was maybe 8 to go. You're down 10, and things are just unraveling.
They had one of their classic 5-minute scoring droughts where they couldn't score, and they didn't run anything. It looked like, oh, boy.
Yep.
Here comes Texas to blow them out now.
And it felt like it was over, but obviously, you know, Matthew Meyer in the first half to keep you in a good spot. And then the second half, like, Sincere Harris was part of another good run for Illinois. Jaden Epps came up pretty clutch late in that game, and then Terrence in overtime. So I don't know. It's hard to explain. You know, how does that team go and then just get annihilated? I mean, they were down almost by 40 to Missouri. They were down 30 plus.
That was unbelievable.
To Missouri, like, a couple weeks after Texas. It was hard to imagine, but
luckily, yeah, it's a new season.
It's a new season.
We don't need to worry about that.
We can talk more as far as that goes. I know we got to catch a break here and dive back into the top 25, because I have a few more other thoughts on that as well. If you want to weigh in, you can. 217-359-2255. Got it. On that note, Lindy texted in. He said, if I recall, Brad Underwood said in February that he was still waiting on them to run an offensive set. Yeah, getting into their offense. At times, it was hard to figure out what kind of offense they were trying to run. Obviously, some of that was them not executing and being able to run a play. So you get some older guys in there, you would think that is going to change this year. We'll talk more hoops when we come back. Stick with us. This is The Drive.
Kelsey Furniture in downtown Tuscola sells Tempur-Pedic beds. What's it like?
I'm going to tell you right now, Stevie, that that thing is the best thing I've ever slept on in my life. My wife and I both have said we've never had better night's sleep. And the people at Kelsey's were fantastic. Brian is the guy that helped us. You know, as much as I did my research, he...